Imagine building a skyscraper twice as tall as the Burj Khalifa, spending $2 billion to do it, and then making all your money back the exact same day you open the doors.
Which is just, yeah, it's completely unheard of.
Right. Only this didn't happen in Dubai. It happened, well, on a server. I want to take you back to a very specific morning, the morning of June 25, 2026. Just, 3 days ago.
The day everything kind of changed, honestly.
Exactly. On that morning, the global entertainment landscape fundamentally shifted. And our mission for today's deep dive is to explore exactly how a single video game just shattered every financial record in human history.
And what that means for the creative economy at large, really.
Right, and why this matters to you, whether you're an investor, a hardcore gamer, or just incredibly curious about the sheer economic weight of our digital world.
Because we are looking at a true watershed moment here. It's very easy to get caught up in the traditional hype cycle of a new game release, but, well, we have to recognize that this is no longer just a gaming story.
Oh, for sure.
What happened on June 25th was the largest entertainment product launch in human history, period.
Which brings us to our source for this deep dive, this comprehensive analysis titled The GTA 6 Edic, A New Era of Entertainment History. And okay, let's unpack this because the sheer scale of the headline statistic is almost difficult to even visualize.
Really is.
39 million copies sold, $3 billion generated in a single 24-hour period.
And remember, those were just pre-orders.
Right. They pulled in $3 billion before a physical disc ever went into a console, before anyone even, touched a controller.
It's staggering.
To put that in perspective, the biggest movie box office opening weekend ever was Avengers Endgame. That pulled in $1.2 billion globally over a whole weekend, and GTA 6 nearly tripled that number in one day.
To understand the mechanism behind that historic $3 billion revenue shock, we really have to look backward. We need to examine the staggering scale of what it actually takes to engineer a digital world of this magnitude.
Because this wasn't, an overnight phenomenon.
Not at all. It was a 12-year, highly calculated gamble.
Right, from 2014 to 2026, Rockstar Games, essentially, I mean, they basically locked a team of over 2,000 developers in a room for a decade.
Yeah, and the capital allocation is just staggering. Over $2 billion.
Wait, 2 billion.
Over $2 billion. We're talking $850 million-$950 million dedicated strictly to salaries and wages for that massive team over 12 years.
Wow.
And then another $300 million-$400 million deployed just for global marketing.
Yeah.
That level of resource allocation for a single media product is unprecedented.
Yeah, the analysis actually draws a direct comparison between the development of GTA 6 and the physical construction of the Burj Khalifa in Dubai.
Which is a fascinating parallel to look at.
Right, because the world's tallest building took 6 years, 12,000 physical workers, and $1.5 billion to build. And GTA 6 took twice the time and required over 30% more capital.
Right.
I do struggle with the skyscraper comparison, though, I have to admit.
How so?
Well, when you build a physical structure in Dubai, you are battling gravity, extreme weather, material logistics, real-world physics. A digital world feels, I don't know, infinitely malleable.
You can just delete a wall with a keystroke.
Exactly. So
Yeah.
are we just comparing the sheer price tags, or is there a genuine engineering parallel here?
What's fascinating here is that we frequently fall into the trap of assuming digital means ethereal, you know? We assume that because it exists on a screen, it's somehow less rigorous than physical engineering.
Right, like it's just pixels.
Exactly. But digital infrastructure at this scale is arguably just as complex as pouring concrete and welding steel. You aren't just designing static walls, you're engineering dynamic, highly volatile systems of artificial intelligence, real-time rendering, and complex physics engines that have to interact flawlessly millions of times a second.
So if one system breaks, it all breaks.
Right. If one line of code in the traffic AI conflicts with the weather rendering, the entire digital skyscraper collapses. But the most crucial difference between the Burj Khalifa and GTA 6 isn't the engineering. It's the money, right?
It's the financial velocity. Rockstar recovered their entire 12-year, $2 billion investment in less than 24 hours.
Which is just insane, even factoring in the standard 30% cut that platforms like PlayStation and Xbox take. Rockstar netted roughly $2.35 billion instantly.
Instantly. Forbes has officially labeled it the fastest return on investment in entertainment history.
It's wild to even think about.
Which perfectly illustrates why this is a macroeconomic revelation. Contextualize this against traditional entertainment, The entire global film industry generates around $42 billion annually. The music industry sits at about $28 billion.
Okay.
The global gaming industry sits at over $220 billion. It completely dwarfs film and music combined.
Wow.
GTA 6 isn't just participating in that market. It's proving that a single, meticulously engineered digital product can consolidate capital at a speed physical industries simply cannot physically process. Think of it like building a digital theme park where you own the roads, the rides, the currency, and 39 million people pay to enter on day one. But you can't just spend $2 billion drawing a map and expect people to show up. You have to actually engineer an ecosystem.
Right. You need a world.
Which brings us to the obsessive technological innovation that funded the recreation of Vice City, Rockstar's fictionalized version of Miami. The map is sprawling. It covers Vice City, the Florida Keys, the Everglades, and even a Cuba-inspired island.
It's massive.
Yeah, it takes roughly 15 minutes of real-world time just to drive across it in a car, making it 2 to 3 times larger than the map in GTAV. But the methodology behind how they built it is what really blew my mind. They didn't just hand-draw these streets. They used LiDAR.
Right, light detection and ranging.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because LiDAR is the exact same laser mapping technology used by autonomous self-driving vehicles.
Right, to read the road.
Yeah, those cars use lasers to read the depth and shape of the physical environment in real time so they don't crash. Well, Rockstar spent over 500 hours strapping these industrial-grade laser scanners to helicopters and cars, scanning real-world Miami streets, beaches, architecture, all to create a one-to-one scale foundation for Vice City.
And they needed that LiDAR data because hand-modeled environments, no matter how talented the artist is, they always carry a slight subconscious artificiality.
Oh, interesting. Like it's too perfect.
Exactly. A human designer will make a sidewalk perfectly flat. A LiDAR scanner maps the exact millimeter depth of a real pothole, the slight uneven sag of a power line, the natural erosion of a beachfront.
So it feels lived in.
Right. By importing that raw topographical data, they create a geographical baseline that the human brain instantly recognizes as authentic.
And it goes way beyond just the geography. They completely overhauled their core software, the Rage Engine 10, to support full real-time ray tracing. But they aren't just using ray tracing for lighting. Usually, we hear about ray tracing making, you know, puddles reflect neon signs perfectly.
Right, visual upgrades.
Yeah, but Rockstar's using it for audio.
And the audio engineering might be the most impressive technical leap in the entire project.
The way it's described in the source, the sound of a gunshot will actually echo and reflect realistically off the physical architecture of the game. But I want to play devil's advocate for a second.
Sure, go for it.
If I am sitting on my couch, driving a virtual sports car at 120 miles per hour while the radio is blasting, am I really going to notice that the audio is ray traced? Is this just a developer burning hundreds of millions of dollars on tech specs to win a press release? Or does this actually change the experience?
Think about ray tracing like throwing 1,000 bouncy balls in a dark room. The engine is mathematically calculating how those sound waves bounce off different materials in real time. So a gunshot fired in a concrete tunnel mathematically sounds completely different than one fired in a carpeted hotel lobby or, you know, a dense swamp.
Okay, that makes sense.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this level of technological obsession isn't about you consciously noticing the individual specs. It's about subconscious immersion.
Tricking the brain, basically.
Exactly. If the audio behaves like the real world and the terrain has the microscopic imperfections of the real world, your brain stops fighting the simulation. You stop seeing it as a video game and start accepting it as a place, which directly informed their approach to the artificial intelligence governing the NPCs.
The non-playable characters.
Mm-hmm.
The thousands of random digital citizens just walking down the street. In older games, an NPC was essentially an animatronic puppet on a track, right?
Not much.
They walked forward, maybe set a pre-programmed line, and then just disappeared when you looked away.
They existed solely as window dressing for the player. But Rockstar integrated machine learning models to give these digital citizens simulated lives. These NPCs now have persistent daily routines.
Wow.
Yeah, they wake up in a specific apartment, drive to a specific job, eat lunch, go to sleep.
And they have memory, which is wild. Like, if you commit a string of robberies in a specific neighborhood in Vice City, the local NPCs will actually remember the spike in crime and start actively avoiding that area at night. Or if you hold up a convenience store and go back a week later, the shopkeeper remembers you.
Which requires an astronomical amount of background processing. The game has to constantly track and update the state of thousands of individual entities simultaneously. It completely shifts the medium.
It's not just a game anymore.
Right. You are no longer playing a scripted game where you press a button to trigger a cutscene. You're stepping into a living simulation. That psychological shift, the deeply unsettling feeling that this digital world exists, breathes, and evolves even when you aren't looking at it, is exactly what justifies a 12-year wait and a $2 billion budget.
But you can have all the LiDAR and ray-traced audio in the world, and a perfect simulation is just a hollow $2 billion sandbox if you don't have a compelling human anchor.
Absolutely.
Players need someone to actually care about. Which leads us directly to the dual protagonists at the center of the narrative, Jason Duvall and Lutia Caminos.
Yeah.
And Rockstar is totally abandoning their traditional formula here.
They are. Historically, the franchise relies on the lone wolf archetype, or in the case of GTA V, three separate characters operating largely independently.
Right.
Jason and Lucia represent a deeply interdependent, highly volatile dynamic that's heavily inspired by Bonnie and Clyde.
And the psychological contrast between these two is just fascinating. Let's look at Jason first. He's in his late 20s, an ex-military operator with a very dark past, currently working for a drug smuggler named Brian Hyder.
Right.
He is highly tactical. He plans the operations, he keeps his cool under pressure, and he desperately wants to escape his criminal past to live a quiet life. But his fatal flaw is his extreme, unshakable loyalty to Lucia.
And Lucia provides the perfect friction to that mindset. She is the franchise's first female playable main protagonist. She's a Latina woman recently released from the Leonida Penitentiary, and her character profile notes that her father raised her to fight from childhood.
So she's tough.
Very. She is driven by what the writers call an internal storm.
Yeah, she strikes first and asks questions later. She isn't looking for a quiet life. She wants to actively rise up and conquer the criminal underworld, which completely upends the mechanics of the game.
It does.
If you're controlling both of them, how does that actually work when their fundamental goals are completely at odds? There are even rumors that the game's branching narrative might force one to betray the other.
It creates a brilliant narrative paradox. You have two individuals who are deeply in love and fiercely protective of one another, yet their overarching ambitions are entirely incompatible.
One wants out, one wants in.
Exactly. Jason wants survival and escape. Lucia wants power and escalation. This creates unprecedented emotional stakes. You aren't just an observer anymore. Your gameplay decisions while controlling Lucia directly threaten Jason's desire for a quiet life, and vice versa.
Wow.
It forces you to constantly balance their romantic relationship against their physical survival, replacing that traditional chaotic sandbox formula with a deeply complex noir-like tension.
But, you know, when you combine world building at this massive scale with characters carrying that level of psychological complexity, the expectations become dangerously high. And that pressure doesn't just sit on Rockstar's shoulders. It's caused a shockwave across the rest of the gaming industry.
It really has.
The analysis actually refers to it as the GTA 6 effect.
The displacement caused by a product this massive is unavoidable. When a game commands this much cultural attention and consumer capital, rival publishers simply cannot afford to launch anywhere near it.
Right. Major studios completely cleared out of the launch window. EA delayed Battlefield 7 to March 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Ubisoft pushed Assassin's Creed Nexus to February 2027.
They just got out of the way.
Even Nintendo opted to push their massive flagship title, Zelda, Tears of the Abyss, into 2027, just to avoid competing for attention and dollars during this holiday season. Meanwhile, the stock for Take-Two Interactive, which is Rockstar's parent company, surged 12.4% in a single day.
It demonstrates the monopolistic power of a true cultural event. But engineering a product that can single-handedly manipulate the stock market and terrify multinational corporations comes with extreme demands on the consumer.
Which brings up a very real point of friction. The standard edition of this game costs $79.99. Furthermore, it requires a staggering 150 to 200 gigabytes of hard drive space.
It's a massive footprint.
And if you're a PC gamer, the TC launch is delayed until 2027. But that file size alone is wild. I mean, 200 gigabytes is, it's a massive chunk of a console storage.
Well, that file size is the direct consequence of the technology we discussed earlier. You aren't just downloading a map, you're downloading massive, uncompressed 4K textures for every building scanned by LiDAR. You're downloading thousands of unique, non-repeating audio files for the AI routines of the NPCs.
So it adds up fast.
The physical weight of the data is simply the price of the simulation.
But the financial price is what I really want to look at.
Yeah.
Are consumers really going to casually drop $80 on a standard video game?
This raises an important question about brand equity versus consumer tolerance. The IGN survey cited in the analysis provides a compelling answer to this. Only 3% of the people who pre-ordered the game did so because they received a promotional discount.
Really? Only 3%?
Yep. The overwhelming majority purchased it simply because of the letters G, T, and A. The brand equity is so absolute, and the guarantee of a premium experience is so ingrained in the audience, that an $80 price tag is not viewed as a barrier. The perceived value vastly outweighs the cost.
Especially when you factor in the longevity, right? Players know GTA Online 2 is launching in early 2027. That's going to include gang territories, player-owned businesses like nightclubs, an entire digital economy.
Exactly.
And Strauss Zelnick, the CEO of Take-Two, made a very specific promise regarding that online component. He stated definitively that it will not be pay to win. Players won't be able to spend real-world money to gain a competitive advantage in a firefight. Real money can buy a faster car or a nicer digital apartment, essentially saving time, but it cannot buy power.
Structuring the microtransactions around convenience rather than competitive advantage is a vital strategy. It prevents the community from fracturing. Free players won't abandon the ecosystem if they feel the playing field is fundamentally fair.
Right. That makes total sense.
However, despite the brilliant economic strategy, Rockstar is still facing an enormous existential threat regarding the physical launch on November 19th. We have to address the shadow of Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh man, the ultimate cautionary tale. Cyberpunk had a massive budget, years of hype, millions of pre-orders, and then it launched in 2020 in a practically unplayable state for older consoles.
It was a disaster.
The bugs and performance issues were so severe that it was actually pulled from the PlayStation digital storefront, resulting in millions of dollars in refunds and just a catastrophic PR nightmare.
Right?
If 39 million people try to log into GTA 6 on day one and the servers instantly melt down or the physics engine breaks, it's going to be a disaster.
And Rockstar is acutely aware of that ghost. When you spend $2 billion and promise a living, breathing simulation, the margin for error is exactly zero.
Right.
Any glitch, any frame rate drop will be instantly recorded and amplified by millions of players across social media. That terror of a botched buggy launch is precisely why Rockstar made the highly controversial decision to restrict GTA 6 strictly to ninth generation consoles, the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X.
So they just skipped the massive install bases of the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One entirely.
They had to. If they tried to run a 200 gigabyte simulation with real-time ray tracing and machine learning AI on hardware that was designed over a decade ago, the older systems would fatally bottleneck the game's performance.
It would just crash.
Exactly. They needed a standardized, highly powerful hardware baseline to guarantee the code executes exactly as intended. They intentionally sacrificed millions of potential sales from older console owners to protect the integrity of the launch experience.
Wow. We have covered incredible ground today. We started by looking at a digital project that required the capital and labor of a massive physical skyscraper. We broke down how engineers use autonomous vehicle lasers to map real-world cities and how they replaced robotic NPCs with a living simulation.
It's a lot to take in.
It really is. We explored how the noir-like tension of Jason and Lucia fundamentally changes how we interact with the game, and we saw how this single piece of media displaced the entire gaming market and shifted the stock market.
If you're looking for a practical takeaway from this massive launch, it is a profound lesson in strategic discipline.
Yeah.
Well, we are currently operating in an entertainment era heavily dominated by rapid, disposable content and cheap, iterative microtransactions. But the financial phenomenon of GTA 6 proves that radical patience, the willingness to invest 12 years and $2 billion into a single cohesive vision, and an uncompromising dedication to technological quality still yield the most significant cultural and financial victory.
Quality over quantity.
Exactly. People recognize and will eagerly pay for painstakingly crafted value.
It is a staggering achievement in digital engineering, and it brings us right back to our original question about the weight of these digital spaces. Mm-hmm. We just spent 20 minutes discussing a game that simulates a city down to the sleep schedules of its virtual citizens and generated $3 billion of real, tangible wealth before a single person even played it.
It's profound.
So I want to leave you with this final thought to ponder on your own. If a digital simulation can become this technologically complex, and, you know, it can move billions of real-world dollars in a matter of hours, at what point does the digital economy of these virtual worlds begin to rival the actual GDP of physical cities? What happens to our real-world economy when our digital simulations carry the exact same financial weight as our physical reality?
We may find out the answer to that much sooner than we expect.
Keep wondering, keep questioning, and we'll see you on the next Deep Dive.